Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Your brain needs support, and new Ollie Brainy Chews are a delightful way to take care of your cognitive health. Made with scientifically backed ingredients like Thai ginger, L-theanine, and caffeine, Brainy Chews support healthy brain function and help you find your focus, stay chill, or get energized. Be kind to your mind and get these nootropic chews at Ollie.com. That's OLLY.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
What up, pitches? Welcome back to Lockdown Universe, home of the bizarre, peculiar, and unheard of stories of UFO legend and paranormal lore. Welcome back. We're here at Area 51. We've got the militant alien back here. Actually, you can't see him too well here. Take a look. Here he is. He's got the octopus alien up in here. We've got him hanging out with us tonight. We've got the CIA operative Dennis Rodman up there. Yes, and the Jumpman astronaut. Oh, hey, if you even look far over to the right there, you can see the cat-like Lyran alien from the constellation Lyra and possibly Bigfoot over there far to the right. So anyway, welcome back. And tonight we're going to talk about the elevator to hell. So this is really cool. This is kind of an interesting story that just came out on Phantoms and Monsters, and I figured I would just try to throw it out here real quick and see what you thought. So this story happened back in 2001, and we all know what happened back in 2001, and this was actually New York, so that makes it even more interesting, because a lot of weird things happened around the time of 2001, not just 9/11. So this story was written into Phantoms and Monsters, and it was a bizarre account involving a boy and his classmates on a field trip to the New York State Museum. The event includes a time slip and possibly an alternate reality. So this is the quote-unquote story from the gentleman. Now, he's much older, obviously, moving on 23 years in the future. So after hearing story after story of strange encounters with strange men dressed in black suits, I wanted to tell my story. And my story took place in 2001 when I was 8 years old. It was the summer, and I was on a field trip with my town's community center daycare program. And that's when we went to the New York State Museum in Albany, New York. I was in a group with maybe two or three other kids and one of the day workers as a chaperone. So there's multiple groups in this whole daycare. So it wasn't just him and two, three other kids. It was groups, multiple groups, okay? We got there in the morning and we were told that we could roam around the museum with our group until 12 or 1 o'clock, when we had to meet back up with everyone for lunch on the third floor. Our group walked around looking at all the exhibits, and after a while we realized that we had lost track of time. So we only had a few minutes to get up to the third floor for lunch, and we were on the other side of the museum from where the elevators were. We quickly hurried to the lobby. Our group piled into the elevator, and we hit the third floor. Well, we hit the third floor button, I should say, is what they hit. And as the doors were closing, a man, extremely well-dressed, in a black suit, black shoes, black fedora, white dress shirt, black tie, black leather gloves even, and was carrying a black leather briefcase. At the time, I thought nothing of it, but I've always looked back at this and thought that this was very odd, as it was summer, right? Doesn't really make much sense, and he was dressed for the dead of winter. As the man got on, I noticed that he kept his head down, almost as though he didn't want us to see his face. He quickly turned around, only then lifting his head. He just stood there with his back to us. And I don't remember ever seeing him select a floor when he got into the elevator, interestingly enough. The elevator doors closed, and an eerie feeling seemed to be emanating from the man in black. We left the lobby on the first floor and were going up to the third floor, so it shouldn't have taken much time. I mean, you're talking, what, 20, 30 seconds at most? Doesn't take that long, unless you're in, like, the slowest elevator on the planet. Or maybe another planet. So, the ride, like he even says, even the author says, it should have taken maybe 10 or 20 seconds at most. The elevator's display showed that we had arrived on the third floor, but the elevator didn't stop. The numbers just kept climbing, and we were definitely moving. I want to preface this by saying those elevators in the lobby only have access to four floors, to my knowledge, interestingly enough. I mean, it's a museum, but the museum only had four above ground floors. So that's interesting. It wasn't a skyscraper, right? It wasn't the New York, you know, Empire State Building or anything like that. So at this point, it had been well over a minute since the elevator started moving, and the numbers on the display continued to climb, as did the elevator. The eerie feeling that had been seemingly emanating from the man grew more intense, and the air in the elevator was beginning to get extremely heavy. The higher the elevator climbed, the feeling turned from eerie to foreboding, and I remember getting the feeling you get in the pit of your stomach when you know something bad's going to happen. Something definitely wasn't right, and the display was saying we had passed the 50th floor. Okay, this is really cool, actually. I briefly skimmed over this before we started, and I didn't catch that part, so this is wild. At this point, it had been around 5 minutes that we were in the elevator. The atmosphere in the elevator had gotten almost unbearable. This heavy, ominous feeling was something I've never experienced since. Okay, so this guy's older now, right? He was 8 in 2001, so what does that make him, you know, about 30-ish, right? 32, 33 maybe, 31, I don't know, somewhere in his early 30s. Then I remember panicking when I thought about what was on the other side of those doors, because the elevator had suddenly stopped. He said that the closest thing I can compare it to is that feeling when you get when you walk down a dark hallway after watching a horror movie, and even then it doesn't begin to describe how I felt. So, I was telling myself over and over again that the buttons on the elevator don't go past the fourth floor, so there aren't any floors beyond that, so whatever is on the other side of this door doesn't exist. So, the whole experience can't possibly have happened. When the doors opened, I'll see all of my friends from the other groups eating lunch, and everything will be okay. But that is not what happened. Okay, all right, here we go. We're getting somewhere. And this is where things always have gotten a little fuzzy for me, he states. I remember getting on the elevator with my group, the man walking in, and the elevator going up. All of the descriptors of it going up to the 50th floor, being in the elevator for at least 5 to 10 minutes. But I can't remember my group being in the elevator after a certain point. I know it was at least 5 minutes from the time we entered the elevator before it stopped. Yet, I can't tell you how much time had passed when the elevator stopped and when the doors opened. I can remember looking at the display to see what floor we were on, but I can't remember what it said. I remember being frozen there with no sound or movement whatsoever. I remember feeling it like if those doors opened, something bad was going to happen, to the point when I remember panicking inside my head, pretending none of this was happening. But every time I opened my eyes, that sinister man was still standing there, as still as a statue. Then all of a sudden, the man who was responsible for all this, who had not moved a single muscle since the elevator doors had closed, dropped his briefcase And not even a second after the briefcase hit the ground, the doors of the elevator opened, and yet I can't remember what was beyond those doors. I have tried for the last 18 years to remember, and I have never been able to recall it. I just remember it being white and bright. The man then calmly picked up his briefcase, tipped his fedora, almost to bid us goodbye, and walked off the elevator. And then I remember the doors closing. That ominous feeling was gone, and in an instant we were in the third floor, and the doors popped open. Interesting. Only then do I remember seeing the rest of my group at the elevator. All of them looked as terrified as I did, especially our chaperone. Looking out, I saw the rest of the kids and chaperones from the other groups. We walked out of the elevator and had been expecting to be extremely late for lunch. However, we were right on time, interestingly enough. So this is impossible because we had initially reached the elevator a minute or so before lunch started. So that encounter lasted at least 5 or 10 minutes. I remember our chaperone pulling other adults aside, and I assume he told them what happened to us on the elevator. And I remember sitting at the table with my friends eating pizza and lunch, and the kids from my group sharing the story of what just happened. No one believed us. I remember the chaperone I had avoided the subject for the rest of the day. That's what he's saying. I remember the chaperone I had, should have been a comma, avoided the subject for the rest of the day, and the others in my group seemed to have dropped it as well. I remember that I told my mom what had happened, and I've always felt as though she didn't believe me. Before writing this, I wanted to make sure that I really did experience this since I was so young, and it had been well over a decade since this happened. And that it wasn't something my mind made up over the years. Maybe it was just a very vivid dream. So I asked my mom if she remembered me telling her about this. And she said she did. She remembers me picking her up from the community, or she remembers picking me up from the community center. And the second we got into the car, I had told her all about this man in black and the elevator going up all these floors and that he had dropped his briefcase. And she said she also remembers me telling her about it. And that he had said something to me, but she doesn't remember what. So that's interesting. He actually told her something. I don't have any memory of him saying this, so here's my story. 18 years later, I still have absolutely no clue what that man was, where the elevator took us, what was beyond the doors, where the man walked off into, or anything that happened after that inside the elevator. I just know it happened. I have no idea how long we were in the elevator. It could have been minutes. It could have been hours. But what I do know is that it seems to have been a separate experience from our reality since no time had actually passed when we got to the third floor. That's the interesting part, right? It's like this missing, there's not missing time. There should have been missing time, especially if they went up 50 floors, but it seemed like they were right on time for lunch, according to him. I've gone through every explanation I can think of. None of them make sense. From not remembering correctly what elevator we got on and perhaps getting on somewhere else, but that's impossible for the reason that I've listed in the paragraph below this. I've thought that it was maybe a really vivid dream, but my mom remembers me telling her right after she picked me up. I've even considered that a gas leak happened in the elevator, causing me to hallucinate. The one thought that's always been in the back of my mind has been that we got onto the elevator and we took a ride into another dimension. On a little side note, I had a job with a catering company in the Albany area last summer. One of the most common venues we catered was that same museum, New York State Museum. Over that summer, I rode probably every public elevator in that building. And even a cargo elevator that they have there, and not a single one I rode on had any buttons beyond the fourth floor. And he signs it ES. So what do you think happened? Do you think that it was a trip to hell, a trip to another dimension, a gas leak, a hallucination? Did somebody slip this kid and something? He started hallucinating. You know, what happened? It doesn't seem legit. I mean, I mean, it's, I believe him. I just, it doesn't seem like it makes any sense whatsoever other than to say it was out of, like, you know, the Twilight Zone. So it makes you wonder. Makes you wonder what exactly happened, how it happened, who did what, and what happened where. All we can say is that he was 8 years old. It's 2001. Lots of weird stuff happened in 2001. Who knows? With everything that happened and you know, 9/11 happening, could it have been, you know, some weird time dimensional portal that was going on? Men in Black are always agents of some weird shit going down. So you have to wonder if maybe, just maybe, there was a bunch of Men in Black and they were doing some time traveling. And they just happened to take these kids along for the ride because they were just hopped on the elevator at the right time. Who knows? Maybe this museum, it has, like, you know, the special 50th floor that only the person with the right briefcase can get to. Isn't it interesting that in the Umbrella Academy, if you haven't seen that, God, you guys should watch that on Netflix. Great show. They use briefcases to do time travel in. So, who knows? Maybe these Men in Black use their briefcase for time travel or alternate dimension travel or changing the reality that we're in, you know, because a lot of weird things happened at that time. And a lot of people think that the government caused 9/11. And a lot of people think that they used Project Bluebeam to cause what it looked like, the airplanes going into the buildings. I mean, you know, who knows? I'm not saying anything. I'm not saying nothing happened or anything like that. Obviously something happened. But what I'm saying is that a lot of weird stuff was going on at that same time. And for Men in Black to show up around that same time doesn't seem that outside of the realm of possibility for me. And I believe that maybe they just happen to be going into another dimension, testing things out, checking things out. So I'm going to let you guys go with that. Hopefully you enjoyed our little trip down this story's lane, and we could talk about a little bit more of some alternate dimensions tomorrow. Thanks for joining. I hope you guys take care of yourselves. Stay positive, stay true to your beliefs. Take care of yourselves physically, spiritually, emotionally. Follow through on your hobbies and your goals and your dreams. And as always, continue to question the universe around you. Please like, follow, share, subscribe if you like the podcast or learn anything from it. And I love you guys for joining in. Take care. Peace.